Paul said in verse 1, he says that when I came to you, I didn't come with superiority of speech. When I came to this city, I think the way that I tried to come was with superiority of speech. I knew some things. Lives were changed and things happened. But it wasn't long after that point in time I got like Paul talks about. There was weakness and fear and trembling in my life, and I spent about a year trying to please people. I learned you can't please people. And the best thing to do is just do what God said do. People are going to leave the church. They're going to leave the church. I can't keep you. You're supposed to have prayed and found out that this is where you're supposed to be. Then all I can do is minister to you. Tonight I'll be sharing a little bit more about that time of my life. And the first part of that chapter is dealing with Paul coming and his life, how he came, and then the message that he preached. And tonight I just really feel to take a few moments and share from my heart. And so I encourage you to come if you possibly can. Be here with us as we're studying this tremendous book of 1 Corinthians. So exciting to me. We're looking in this book and the messages that we've been preaching on Sunday morning are dealing with prayer. And I'm trying to give to you 5 prayers of confidence we can have when we pray, and the emphasis is on we. How many believe that God really does want you to pray? Would you show me your hands if you really do believe that? Okay. There's 2 kinds of prayers that you'll find. Overall, there is the individual prayer and there's the corporate prayer. I believe that when God saves you, He does a work in your heart that causes you to desire to pray. You desire to pray and have an intimate relationship one-on-one with Him. That's the private times. But as I have studied the Word of God and become more, this past year, more in tune to prayer, I have found out that more times than not, prayer isn't talking about individual prayer in the Scriptures. It's really talking about corporate prayer. The disciples came to Jesus and they asked Him, Lord, teach us to pray. We're going to read this passage in just a second. If we pray. We'll read the passage in a little while, but if 2 or 3 agree together. Did I say that right? If 2 or 3 agree as touching anything that they may ask, then God will give it to them. It says the Father will do it. And the whole thing is concerning corporateness of prayer. On Wednesday nights, we're meeting and we're going in the back room. We're back there in the fellowship area. And we're praying. And God is doing some things. He's saving lives. He's saving souls. He's blessing people. And He's doing some tremendous things. If I understood correctly, one of the people that we have on the board and been praying for their salvation got saved this week. Am I correct there? And you just can't tell me that that's not a response to the prayers that we've been praying. Is Kelsey still in here? Would you just hold her up? Just hold her up. Just hold Kelsey up. She had a collapsed lung. She was in the hospital. We prayed for her. God healed her lung. There is a lot that's happening, and it's because we're praying corporately. I really believe that. There's nothing wrong with individual prayer, and I want you to understand and hear me correctly. You need to pray, husbands, you need to pray for your wives and your family and your job place, and you need to pray for those things that God has put directly under you. And wives, you need to pray for your husbands and your family and the things that are going on, but there's a power of prayer that when we come together, that if one can put 1,000 to flight, then 2 can put 10,000 to flight. And there's a power in coming together in agreement in prayer. And I really believe that's what the Scriptures teach us. And I really encourage you to come. And as we see things, as we pray together and we agree together, we're starting to see things begin to happen and begin manifesting. I want to read now in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, 14, and 15, which has been the scripture that we've read in each one of these five or four teachings, whatever that it is that we're doing. I'm going to give you number four today, the five prayers of confidence we can pray. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. And then he begins talking about prayer in verse 14 and 15. And this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Notice that this we and us here. And if we know that he hears us, in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. There's the corporateness. And I really believe that one of the signs of knowing that you're truly saved is a desire to pray. Now, I'm not saying if you don't come here on Wednesday nights that you're not saved, or if you're not praying regularly that you're not saved. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that if you are saved, there's a desire in your heart to pray. And then that's up to you then to function into that desire and to bring that thing into obedience and submissiveness to the body of Christ and to Jesus Christ. Now, what I want to talk about today is the fourth thing. You can pray for the church with confidence. I want you to know that you can pray for the church with confidence. And of course, it's the universal church, but I'm one specifically talking about this church. If this is where you attend, if this is where you go to church, then you can pray for this church with confidence. And I want you to know that. And I want you to pray for this church. I think sometimes we get afraid to pray because we feel like we're asking God to just bless us and nobody else. No, that's not what I'm saying. But I am saying there are specific prayers that we can pray for this church, and God will hear us and will answer us. I want us to look at the book of Matthew chapter 16. I mean, believe that Jesus really did come to give us life, and that abundantly. You believe that? The Bible says that the thief cometh not but to rob, to kill, and to destroy. And the thief is one that tries to enter another way, trying to come into the things of God without going through Jesus Christ. It won't work. He's a thief. He's a robber, and he will kill and destroy you. But what Jesus says is, I come to give you life, and I come to give it abundantly. The promise of God is for total life. Total life. And a part of your total life is your church. Do you think that's true? Do you think that the church should be a part of your life? It should be a major part of your life. Your week should revolve around the church. Unless you seek in first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, things aren't going to be added to you. But if you put Him first, then the church is going to become a major part of your life. And out of that church, then you will receive life, because He come to give us life. Do you hear what I'm saying? And so we need to begin to pray for our church. We need to pray daily for the church. Just as you need to pray daily for your life, you need to pray daily for this particular church. And I want to give us about five things when we pray for the church that we need to remember and pray about when we pray. But first of all, I want to read in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. I'll read verse 18 and 19. And I say also, well, let's back up to 17. And Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Now, what had been revealed to Simon Peter here was that Jesus was really the Christ. He wasn't Elijah or Isaiah or one of the prophets. He wasn't John the Baptist raised from the dead. He was really the Christ. Now, he says, upon this rock, then, and it changes him now because of that, when you get this revelation, and your life changes. And he says here, and I also say to you that you are now Peter, not Cephas, not a weak thing, but you're Peter, a rock. And upon this rock, upon the revelation that Jesus is really the Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of hell, the gates of Hades, shall not overpower it or prevail against it. It's going on which Bible you're reading or which translation that you're reading. I have one Bible, a lot of translations. Now, the thing that I'm wanting us to see is the church going to be victorious? And he says, I will build my church. Is that what his will is? His will is His church. He died for His church. Will you say that back to me? Jesus Christ died for His church. Say that. Jesus Christ died for His church. Ephesians chapter 5 says that He gave Himself for her. We need to understand that His purpose is the church. That's what He gave. I will build my church. And that is what that He says. That out of that abundance of the church, then your life is going to be blessed. And when you have a real good church, your life's going to really be blessed. Now that's what I'm trying to come from and understand. And Jesus says, I will build the church. And if we pray anything according to His will, we have the confidence that He hears us and He gives us the petitions for which we asked. Now, is it His will to pray for His church? Can we know that if I pray for the church that God will hear me? That's His will. So, it's His will. Now then, verse 19. I will give you the keys of the kingdom, the church. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you shall bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. And whatever you shall loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Now, the church has the keys to the kingdom. Do you see this? If you're going to enter the kingdom, then what has got the key? I want to see if we get this. He's going to build His church. The church has got the keys. We're going to come into the kingdom. We're coming through the church. Because the church is His body. And you can't come in any other way except through Him. He is the way, the truth, the life, and the door. And Paul says clearly in 1 Corinthians 12:27, now you are the body of Christ. We've got to understand the revelation of His church. And we can understand that that's His will, that His church become an abundant place to receive the blessings of God and anything else that we need as the body comes together and prays for us and heals us and the functions of the gift of the Spirit works and manifests here. That's what we're talking about here. Abundance, binding and loosening, setting people free, coming into the things of the kingdom of God, righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, He said, I want to build my church. Now, the first thing that we've got to understand to have a biblical church is that we have got to pray and then not just say it, but receive the Holy Ghost. We, without the manifestation and the administration and the activity of the Holy Spirit, we are not a biblical church. Our theology can be great. We can have our theology just perfect. We can have great praise and worship. We can sing the songs of Zion. But if the Holy Spirit is not here, we are not a biblical church. You are not a believer unless the Holy Spirit dwells your life. We are not a biblical church unless the Holy Spirit dwells in this place. The first thing that we have got to start praying for and seeking after and then receiving is the Holy Ghost. Now, some of you want to say Holy Ghost and some of you want to say Holy Spirit. It's according from what background you came from. I was raised in the Methodist Church and we said Holy Spirit. I come into the Pentecostals, Assemblies of God, and we said Holy Ghost. If you said Holy Spirit in the Pentecostals, you didn't have it. I don't care. You need the Holy Ghost, Spirit of God in your life. And I want to turn over now a chapter or so. Look at chapter 18. Before I leave this thought of binding and loosing, and then get into the Holy Spirit, which is really where I want to get, I want to read chapter 18. I want to read verses 15 through 20. And we just need to read it. And if your brother sins, go and reprove him in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every fact may be confirmed. And if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and as a tax gatherer, or let him be as an unsaved person or a person who you're avoiding. How many of you avoid your taxes? Let him be that way to you. Truly I say to you, whatever you shall bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything, say anything, anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst. Now notice his context is, of course, about church discipline and what to do in these situations. And Paul picks it up in 1 Corinthians 2 also. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 also. And what he's saying here, what I want to point out again is that it's the church that binds and looses. Looses is, I don't know if that's correct. It's the church that has the keys to bind and to loose. And we've got to understand that when we come together and pray and we get in agreement, there is a power in agreement that we do not have individually. Now, there are things in my particular life and my particular family that I have the responsibility to bind and to loose. But when we come back here and we get in total agreement, we got 60 people agreeing together about one thing, do you think that God hears that? Do you think there's a power behind that that's more than just me praying by myself? Yes, there is. Because he says where two or three of you are gathered together. I want to encourage you to get involved with corporate prayer. I want to encourage you to come and have fun with us as we yell and scream and we bind and we loose. We have a good time on Wednesday nights, don't we? Don't we have a good time? And we Roger Grimm would rather come to that than anything. Am I right, Dr. Grimm? He has a good time. And there's a power that's going forth, and we're starting to really see some things happen, and it's getting exciting. Now, I want to talk about the Holy Ghost. First thing we've got to learn to pray for is the Holy Spirit and the manifestation of that Holy Spirit. John chapter 16, verse 7 through 15. Let's look at that quickly. I want you to see this in your Bible. I could, of course, tell you what it says, but I feel much more effective when you have your Bible laying in your lap and you see what I'm talking about. John chapter 16, verses 7 through 15. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. Whose advantage was it to? Our advantage. For if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now, does he say, I will send him to you? Is it the Lord's will that we have the Holy Spirit active in our life? I will send him to you. And if we pray according to his will, then we know that we have the request that we've asked of him. I will send him to you. Did he send the Holy Spirit? Did he ever take it away? Did he ever change his ministries? Verse 8. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness because I go to the Father and you no longer behold me. And concerning judgment because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you. How many knows that the Lord really does have more to say to us? He's not done yet. Paul talks about the mysteries. We're talking about the mysteries tonight a little bit. There are several mysteries that Paul reveals to us in his writings. There were mysteries. He says, there's many more things that I want to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, and he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. I want to tell you seven things that when we pray, I want us to be specific. When we pray that the Holy Spirit will be here, that there are seven things that we need to pray for. Out of this passage of Scripture, when we pray for the Holy Ghost, there are seven things that I see right here that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is, and we want this prayed for and loosed in our body. Don't you want the Holy Spirit ministering here? These are the seven things that I want to talk to us about. Number one, we need to pray that He will convict people of their sin. We have a board back there with I don't know how many people on it that are either lost or not walking in righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Ghost or the kingdom of God. We have a list, a board that's full of that. And what we're doing now is we're praying that, and what we need to start praying for those people is that God will convict them of their sin. This individual that we got saved this week evidently got convicted of his sin. Somewhere along the way, before you really came to the Lord Jesus Christ, you got convicted of your sin. How many knows that's really what happened? You really got, nobody might have known about it, but you. But somewhere, the Holy Ghost began to convict you of your sin. And He still does that, doesn't He? Sure He does. If He's in you, He does. Because that's what His ministry is. You can't continue in sin if the Holy Ghost is really there. That's what John said. So the first thing that we've got to learn to do is pray that the Holy Spirit will convict people of their sin. Secondly, we want Him to convict them of righteousness. The way they are doing things is not right. The way lost people, the way the world is, how many knows the way the world is doing things is not right? It's not the way God wants it done. And we need to pray that the Holy Spirit will convict them that the way they're doing it is wrong. And that they need to start doing it right. That's one of the things, I suppose, that ministered to me. Is I saw that before I come and really serving the Lord, I saw that what I was doing was wrong and I was going down a road of destruction and that I was going straight into hell. Now, I'm not necessarily talking, I was living in hell. How many knows you can't have a living hell? They're going to hell, but you can live in hell right now while you're sucking air. And how many knows that the Holy Spirit will not, how do I want to say this? The Holy Spirit can make you willing. Do you know that? He can make you willing. I want to say it right because I don't want you to mishear me. I believe we have a will. And if our will isn't necessarily serving God, I believe the Holy Spirit can take us through things and into places and make us willing. I believe that's kind of what we need to pray for people. Lord, make them willing. Third thing that we need to pray is that they will get convicted about judgment. But they'll know that there is a judgment for everything they do. There is a recompense. There is a price to pay. And God begins to show you what happens. If you do this, this is what you get. Eventually, yeah, you're going to go to hell. But that's not what we're talking about. Judgment. The judgment that comes every day when you live in sin. If you continue in sin, then every day there's a judgment that's coming on your life. How many of you really believe that God blesses you every day? Do you believe that He does that? Do you believe that He really can bless you every day? Don't you? I do. All right, I believe He can judge me every day. And if He's a good Father, He will do that. And whom He loves, He... Jason. And we pray then for the lost people, these three things. We say, Lord, convict them of their sin. Show them how to do it right and show them they've got to have the church and they need to get saved. They need you, Jesus Christ. And then thirdly of all, that if they don't do that, then what's going to happen to them is there is an eternal hell waiting for them as they walk down that road going to hell, which is a hell itself. Then he goes on and he says, now there's more I want to tell you, but I'm just going to wrap it up in these things about the Holy Ghost coming to you, the church, the people, the believers. And there's four things here. He will guide us into all truth. How much truth? All truth. He says there's more I want to tell you, but the Holy Ghost will come and finish it up. How many of you really do want me to preach truth? You don't want doctrines of men. You don't want deceitful spirits. You don't want my conscience to be seared. You want me to teach you the truth and hear the Spirit of God and to minister truth to you. Do you really believe then that we really do need the Holy Spirit here? Not just to get them saved, but to keep us straight. We need the Spirit of truth. When the Spirit of truth has come, He shall lead you into all truth. One of the things, and I'm going to talk about this in just a second, is that the neat thing about our church is we haven't yet cast out an anchor. We haven't said, this is it, we've got the revelation now, and this is our message. That's not what we've done at all. I don't even know if we've got an anchor in our boat. We're moving with the flow of God. He's moving, we move. He talks to us, we go. He leads us into all the truth. We need the Holy Spirit here and active in our church to keep me straight. You believe that? Then another thing that we need, the fifth thing that the Holy Spirit will do if He's here and active in us, He will show us what is to come. Now, I'm not talking about eschatology. I am not much of an eschatology teacher. I don't get all wrapped up in end time things. But I do know this, that if I do this, this will happen. If I do this, this is coming. He can show me by His wisdom, if I sow this, what will I reap? It's not difficult. If I sow corn, I reap corn. If I sow sin, I reap death and corruption. And if I sow life, I reap life. Now, that's what I'm trying to see. I want us to see is that we can see, we can know what's coming our way. I can tell you whether you're going to be blessed or you're not going to be blessed. I can tell you what's coming if I really know you. If I know what you're doing and I know where you're at, I'll know what's coming in your life. The Holy Spirit has given us the wisdom of God so that we can know those things that are coming. Do you really believe that? Now, also, in this particular thought, I don't want to leave out the gifts of the Spirit. Most of us in this body have been prophesied over. We've had the ministry of prophecy. Somebody laid hands on us and prophesied over us and helped us to kind of see where we were going, where we've been, and where we're going. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Tongues, interpretation. There's a ministry of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to leave out the gifts here. When the Holy Spirit is active in a church, there is the forthtelling and the foretelling that's going to come forth. That was the fifth thing. The sixth thing that the Holy Spirit will do if He's active here, He will glorify Jesus Christ. He will not glorify Delbert Young. He will not glorify Steve Allman. Who will He glorify? Jesus Christ. That is what we've got to understand. That is what I'm hearing right now more than anything else. Please don't come to this church because I'm here. You come to this church because the Holy Ghost is here. If He's not here, you go someplace where He is. We have got to learn that the ministry of the Holy Ghost will glorify Jesus Christ. There will be praise and worship and great things happening. But if that's not pointing us to Jesus Christ and just to Pastor Tebow and the praise team and how good they can do it, and Michelle and Linda and all the musicians, how well they play, If that's what we're doing, then we're missing it, folks. It is to glorify Jesus Christ. And if He is here, He will get the glory. I really believe sometimes that's why we don't see the miracles of God, is because we're looking at a man to do it. Looking at a church. What if you go to the church at Lafayette, you get healed? And as long as we got that mentality, folks, it's just not going to work. It's not going to happen because He has got to get the glory. The seventh thing, He will take what Father has given Jesus and give that to us. Yeah, somebody else say hallelujah. Wow! How many want the power that Jesus had? He can take that and give it to us. Not me. Us. The body. How many want the mind of Christ? You have the mind of Christ. Paul tells that church at Corinth, You have the mind of Christ. We get ourselves together, people that have saturated themselves with the Word of God. I promise you, we can give you the answer biblically and show you where it's at. In the Scriptures. Because we have the mind of Christ. How many want His mind? Well, the Holy Ghost, if He's here active, He'll give it to us. It won't be man's philosophy that we'll be listening to. It'll be the philosophy of Jesus Christ. He had a wisdom. He had a philosophy. It was God's wisdom. How about the glory? How many want to see a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing? Don't you want to see that? Boy, I do. Well, He can take the glory that Jesus had and give it to us. And that's what He's going to present unto Himself, is a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. A glorious church. And He is changing us from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit. Got to have the Spirit. How many see that the first thing that we really have got to have to be an active New Testament church is the activities of the Holy Ghost? If we don't, we're going through forms. We'll get into all these things. We'll come in here and go through our rote. We'll go home and say, boy, wasn't that fun? And nobody's healed. Nobody has any power. There's nothing happening in the church but death. All we do is funerals. I don't want to do funerals. I like to do baby dedications. First thing we've got to learn to pray for is for the Holy Spirit. Then secondly, I want you to pray for me. Pray for me. How many of you really believe that the devil would really like to cause me to fall, would really like to destroy me? I really believe that. I believe that the devil goes before the Father and says, just like he did Job, Father, if you just, you know, let me at him. If you'll just let me test him and let me tempt him. This is the only, and I'm cautious how I say this, but this is, as far as I know, in this area, this is the only, and for lack of a better word, successful, charismatic, kingdom-oriented church in this area. And what the devil would really like to do, and it's the only one I think that has the power that is starting to pray and do some things, what the devil would really like to do is destroy it. And his primary target would be me. Now, that's just logical. That doesn't mean that he's going to shoot at me more than he's going to shoot at you. But he would like for me to fall. Then that way, this place becomes a laughingstock. Am I right? And men mock it. How many of you really believe I need your prayers? I need your prayers. Now, let me show you an example how I want you to pray for me. Now, Pastor Tebow, will you stand up right here? And you're going to be God, okay? Is that all right? Can you feel the cheese? Yeah. Okay. And Judy, you come here. You're my intercessor. You're the body. You're praying for me. Now, how many think I really need to have my face toward the Father? That I really need to be looking to Him, and I need to be trying to move this way towards Him. Am I right now? That's what I should be doing. So then her prayer should be doing what? Don't nag now. Don't nag. Just pray. All right. Yeah. All right. Now I turn this way and I get a little off track. What are you? Okay. And I turn and I get off here. I don't want prayers like that. Okay. All right. You see that? You see that? No, I'm not through yet. Don't go yet. Don't go yet. Okay. Now, that's the way the prayer should be. The prayer should be to constantly behind me, encouraging me. Giving me instructions and loosening angels upon my life to minister to me and keep me always moving in the right direction. Do you agree with that? But now, this is the way a lot of people pray for me. Again, you want to get me straightened out. Get me straightened out. Now, I can't see Father. Go ahead, pray for me now. You better get straightened out. Go ahead, pray for me.
Yeah, okay.
All right, come on, pray for me with your finger in your face. There you go. That's where a lot of people want to pray for me. They want to stick their finger in my face, and you better get straightened out. And I go over here, and I'm trying to get the Father, and you're praying for me. See, I can't get to Him. And so what am I going to eventually do? I can't see him. I can't hear him because all I'm hearing is her. Listen, you don't realize, folks, when one of you, just one of you, get upset with me, how that plays on my mind, because I so love you and I so want you happy. I so want you ministered to. And when you come and try to get me straightened out, it really does hinder me and my relationship with the Father. I can't pray the way I normally pray. I can't. Now it doesn't mean that I'm above reproof, but really are you saying you really don't want us to come get you straightened out? Yeah. I want you to pray for me. I want you to hear me. I'm trying to say it correctly, but it looms so large. One person can be such a Goliath and block out the whole purpose and the whole vision that we're trying to do and I'm trying to attain to. Are you with me now? Do you see what I'm trying to say? Pray for me. Encourage me. Pray for me now, huh? Pray for me. That's good. See? Just help me. Help me. Encourage me. And if you see me doing something that you don't quite agree with, well, then pray for me. Help me. And if you keep nudging me with your prayers, loosening angels upon me to help me and to show me the right things, he said, I'll lead you and guide you into truth. Thank you. You see that? That's the way I want you to pray for me and for my family. Pray that we do have righteousness and peace and joy, that we do things right. You need to pray for my family because when my family's doing well, I do well. When they're not doing well, when I've got problems in my family, then I don't do well. I have to minister there. And really what I want to do is give myself to prayer and to the Word. Now, that's the second thing. You need to pray for me and my family. The third thing that I want you to pray for is pray for our leadership. I want all of our leaders to come up. I want our deacons and elders to come on up here and just stand across the front and face the people. All the deacons and elders. Dr. Cash is not with us today. He had to work down at TriMed. Dr. Cash is an elder. You need to pray for these men. We have deacons and elders here. If you don't know them, then you need to. You need to have them to your house. You need to feed them a meal, them and their families. You need to learn them. You need to know where they're at and what they're doing. You have two pastors. I'm a pastor and Pastor Tebow is a pastor. Pastor Tebow is a pastor of administration. He pastors praise and worship. That's his responsibilities. He takes care of the finances so I don't have to worry about those things. It looses me to give myself to prayer and to the Word. If you don't know these men, you don't know them, you need to. Maybe you know one or two of them. You don't know some others. Well, then get to know them so you can pray for them. So you can have dialogue with them and know their lives. Know those, the Bible says, who labor among you. Now, these are men of God. I'm telling you. I know every one of them. And the reason that our church is somewhat different and somewhat successful at this point in time is because of these men. Two reasons. One is they have decided in their hearts to go on with God. They have not, none of them has ever cast an anchor out. Said, this is as far as I'm going. They keep going on. They know they're being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Second reason is they let me be the pastor. Not a one of them has ever tried to tell me what I should or shouldn't preach. They probably prayed for me a lot. But they've never come to me and manipulated me and tried to get me to do what they wanted me to do. They let me be the pastor, and I give myself to prayer and to the Word, Acts chapter 6. And it makes us successful, folks. Thank you. You need to pray for them. You need to know them. Because the Bible says this, submit to those who have the rule over you in the Lord. Now, I don't know who you submit to. I don't know. But you need to have a pastor. You need to have an elder. You need to have deacons. You need to have people in your life that you can communicate with. And you need to pray for these people. Pray for them, pray for their families, their wives, their children, because they do a much better job of praying for this body when things are going well with them. Pray for the leadership. Now, they trust me. Now this didn't happen overnight. How many of you realize that their trust for me didn't happen overnight? They have watched me for these 4, 5, 6 years, whatever that we're on now, and they've watched my life. They see what I am. They trust me. And when I say trust, they covenanted with me. We have a covenant together. Covenant just means that we do what we say we're going to do. When you go to the bank and you borrow money and you make a covenant to get that money, you've covenanted, you've made a contract, and that's the closest thing that we can relate to. And you say you're going to pay this money back at a certain time, in a certain day, or however that the agreement is made. You've covenanted. These men have covenanted with me. I've covenanted with them. And we do what we say we're going to do. And they've learned to trust me. Now, that's the third thing. You need to pray for your leadership. Fourth thing, pray for giving. Pray for the giving. The majority of the people in our church, the majority of the people in our church are givers. They are tithers. New Testament, the fulfillment of the tithe in the Old Testament is giving in the New Testament, just like the blood of the Lamb became the blood of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it was the blood of a goat or a bull, but all that was fulfilled in Jesus. The giving is fulfilled in the tithing is fulfilled in giving. And in our church, the majority of the people are tithers. If you're not a tither, you're in the minority. Now, the way you pray for people is not say, God, do things in their life so that they all start giving. What you say is, God, bless them, prosper them so they can give. If they're having a hard time with their workplace, or we'll say, God, I pray you prosper them in their workplace. If their business isn't doing well, don't say, God, judge them because they're not tithing. Say, God, bless that business. Bless them, prosper them, Father, so they can give more. You ought to be at the end of the year, when we give you back your records of what you've given into the kingdom of God, it should be what most of the majority over any other thing that you've given to, it should be the highest thing given. Let me give you an example. If your house payment is this much, your tithe should be more than your house payment was. It should be first. Seek first the kingdom of God. Whatever that your bills are, you need that. The main thing you need to give to is the kingdom of God. Now, seek first the kingdom of God. But here's the main scripture I want to give you, because where a man's heart is, there his treasure is. Or where his treasure is, there his heart is. And when you look at your finances and you find out that you're giving more to your house than your heart is really for your house and not the things of the kingdom of God, you need to look at that and see, and we need to pray for this church and for its finances. I told you earlier as we took up the offering, Judas was the treasure, and I'm not talking about Judas, but I am saying that Jesus had money. He needed money to function with. He even sent Peter to get money to pay the taxes with. Even Jesus Christ needed money for the ministry. Paul says, take up the collection on the first day of the week. I don't care where you go, it takes money to do what God wants done in the kingdom. Is that okay if I say that now? I'm not trying to be carnal. But you need to learn to pray for the thing. Now listen, some of you want a powerful New Testament church. I believe that every person here would like to see a powerful New Testament church that did exactly what the book of Acts talks about a New Testament church doing. I really believe that everybody here wants to do that. But you're tipping God. You have got to learn to give. You're not going to have that powerful church if your heart isn't in it. If you're not giving the things of God to God and the things of Caesar to Caesar, then you're going to be lacking in the spiritual things. And there's not going to be a church at Lafayette here if some people don't really start giving. If in the ministry that we want to see, if people aren't giving for your children to come to and your grandchildren to come to. Listen, I'm not just doing this for me and my generation. There's a generation coming after me, and I got grandchildren coming along. And I want there to be a work that is seeking God. And it takes money. You need to stop tipping him. And start letting him be number one on your financial list. First thing you should pay every week is your giving. Notice how I'm cautious not to say tithing. I don't want you to think I'm just Old Testament. I tithe. You can do what you want to. I'm blessed. And it's not, I'm not saying, and here's what I want you to start praying. I want you to be specific. I want you to pray for $4,000 a week. Our tithes and our offerings come somewhere between $2,000 and $3,000 a week here. And we want to see ministry added. We want to do more outreaching. We want to do more things. And I want you to specifically ask God for $4,000 a week. It's very, very interesting to me that in Luke chapter 11, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Teach us to pray." He gives them the Lord's Prayer. And then the very next thing he says, he gives them this mystery parable. He says to them, "There was a man at midnight that came to his neighbor's house. He knocked on the door and said, 'I need 4 loaves of bread.' The neighbor said, 'Go away.' The man kept knocking on the door. Did he get his loaves of bread? He was persistent and he was specific." Very interesting. After he's taught him to pray, then he tells him to be specific and consistent. You be specific, you ask for $4,000 a week, and you be consistent. You do it every day. Is this so I can get a bigger salary? Nope. I make $450 a week, and I'm fine. I have a house and a car. I don't want any more right now. I'll let you know when I do. I want to come into the kingdom of God so that this church can do what it's called to do." Now, some of you thought I made more than that. That's what I make. But I am fine. I don't want any more. I do well, don't I? I'm well taken care of. I am blessed. God has opened up windows of heaven and poured me out blessings I don't have room to contain sometimes. I do fine. A lot of you all make a lot more money than I make. And it's not so I can get more money. It is so I can see God's kingdom come and see this church come to what it's supposed to be. Fifth thing, I want you to pray for the harvest. Pray for the harvest. Matthew chapter 9, verse 38, Jesus says, "Beseech the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest field." Listen, evangelism will come through prayer. Nothing's wrong with knocking on doors. I praise God when some of you folks lead some people to Jesus Christ. That is wonderful. But I'll tell you what has happened before you're able to lead that person to Jesus Christ. Somebody has prayed and God has convicted them of their sin, of their righteousness, and of their judgment. You get to be the vessel that gets to bring them to Jesus. And that's wonderful. But the main thing that I want us to hear today, on this particular point is that we beseech the Lord of the harvest to send forth the laborers into the harvest field. And then according to Isaiah 43, the north, the east, the west, the north, and the south, you start praying that. And let God show you specific areas. Maybe He'll show you Villanelle East and Catlett, or maybe He'll point you up towards Rock Springs to the north, and maybe Chickamauga, or over here to the east, a Rising Fawn, or east west, and down to the south, Tryon or Somerville. But he'll show you something, and you begin to intercede and bring people, push back the boundaries, so that these people can come into the kingdom of God. Pray for the heart. Five things. ever understand that we really do have the keys to the kingdom. And that when we get together and we face east, west, north, and south, and we unlock the doors, that people always come in. Do you believe that? I want us to stand. And I want to pray these five things corporately in agreement. I want to go through them real quickly. But I want us to agree together. And I want to pray these things in closing. I don't know where the time went. I don't think I preached this long, that long. I don't really know. Did I preach a long time? It shouldn't have been a long message. I want to pray. And I want us to understand that we can really pray for our church. We can really pray for these five things, and they are the will of God. And if we know that He hears our prayers, then we have confidence that He asks. I'm going to lead you in the prayer, much like we do on Wednesday nights back here. And what you basically do is agree with me. And when I say a name, you just agree with me with that name. You say that name, or whatever that we do, then that's what we just pray. And we're going to go through these things rapidly. I promise you, rapidly. Okay? Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus. Just enter in, but in the name of Jesus. Father, in no other name, there's no name above His name. Hallowed is Thy name. There's no name above the name of Jesus. And Father, You said that if we'd ask anything in the name of Jesus, that You would hear us and You would do it if it was according to Your will. Father, we pray right now for this church. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want a biblical church. We don't want one going through signs and motions. We don't want one that's just coming together to have a group of people. Father, we want a biblical New Testament church that is orchestrated and built by Jesus Christ and none other. None other. Father, we don't want to look at a man. We want to have the Holy Ghost. And Father, the first thing that we pray is for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Father, we want the Holy Spirit to first and foremost convict people of their sins. Father, we ask You in this area, in our area, Father God, that the Holy Ghost will go forth and convict people of their sins. Father, I ask You in Jesus' name to convict people of their righteousness. Father, show them that the way they're doing it is not right. The way they're doing it is not right. And Father, we agree together. I want You to talk to me. Now, when you pray, say, Father, we want You to just, in Jesus' name, Father, to show them that they're not doing it right in Jesus' name. Father, I ask You now in Jesus' name that You'll convict them of judgment. Father, You'll show them according to the judgment that they're going to get. And what they're doing today is going to bring judgment upon their lives. And Father, I ask You that You'll convict them according to their sin, according to their righteousness, and according to the judgment, Father, in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray for this body, Father, that You will show us all truth, that You will lead us and guide us into all truth. Father, I just ask You that You'll just have the Holy Ghost here that will lead us and guide us into all truth. Father, I ask You in the name of Jesus that You will show us the things that are to come. You will give us the wisdom of God. Father, I ask You in the name of Jesus that You will glorify Jesus Christ in this place. Father, that the praise and the worship and the word that is preached and the lives that are changed, Father, do nothing but glorify Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, we glorify Jesus Christ. Point men to Jesus, Father, not to a man. And Father, I ask You that those things that Jesus had, that Father gave Him, that He will freely give them to us by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray for the mind of Christ. Father, I pray for the power of God. Father, I pray for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Father, we ask You for the ministry of the Holy Ghost right here. Father, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we receive, we loose ourselves into the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Would you say that with me in agreement? We loose ourselves to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We loose ourselves to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Father, and also we bind in the name of Jesus, we bind those hindering things that would hinder us from being ministered to by the Holy Spirit. Let's say that together. We bind those things that would hinder us from being ministered to by the Holy Spirit. One more time. We bind those things that would hinder us being ministered to by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Father, I receive the prayers of the saints. Father, I ask You to quicken it to them to pray for me. Pray for me, Father. Not to get in front of me, Lord, and keep me away from God, but Father, to encourage me and to help me, Lord, and to pray for me and nudge me on, Father. And I receive the prayers of the saints right now in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for this leadership. Father, I pray for our pastors. I pray for our elders. I pray for our deacons. Father, I pray for their wives and for their families. And Father, I ask you, Lord, to draw them deeper. Father, I appreciate the men that you've put around me. Father, I appreciate the protection that you've given to me. I thank you, Lord God, and I praise you, Lord God, and I pray for our leadership in the name of Jesus. Father, make them men of God. Father, I pray you never cause them to cast an anchor out. But Father, they'll always be moving continuously in you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray for the giving. Father, I specifically ask you in agreement with this body for $4,000 a week. Would you say that with me? $4,000 a week. $4,000 a week, Father, in tithes and in offerings. Father, that it will come forth for the ministry of this area. Father, that we will have an abundance. And Father, that any need can be met. Any need can be met by $4,000 a week. Father, we ask you for it in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for the harvest. Father, we pray east and west and north and south that we beseech you as the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into these areas. And Father, our God, that you'll bring them. You'll add to the church daily those that should be saved. And Father, we bless you now. We understand, Lord God, that the kingdom of God is going to come through prayer. The kingdom of God is going to come through prayer. Father, when we pray, you said, say, let's say it together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, even as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine truly is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And all the saints said, amen. Clap your hands. Hallelujah. 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 Do you believe that we can pray for this church in that manner and God will hear us? And He will provide for us. If we ask anything, we can have it. If we ask like this, God will give us this kind of a church. Do you really believe that? This kind of a church that we've discussed and prayed for today, that God will really start giving us that. If we will pray, He says, we can have it. That is a prayer you can have with confidence. Bless you. I hope I see you tonight. Amen.